again, we come together, us and Scripture together, we pray that nobody here would disqualify themselves, count themselves out from hearing you. Lord, we pray that you behold us as you see our hearts, where it is, what we are thinking, how we are responding. We pray that you would find a readiness and a willingness to trust you and to get out of the boat, to walk on the water with you. Lord, we pray that your work amongst us would be deep and real, lasting. We ask this in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
Well, what are we talking about this morning? Morning, we're going to focus on hope and what that means. Well, when we say the word hope, there are all sorts of understandings of what that might mean. And the most common understanding is that sort of hope that says, well, we should rain and stop. Hope for rain. You don't know whether it will or not. You just hope. But we're not talking about that kind of hope. That's not the hope that the scripture talks about. And when we talk about faith, hope, and love, it's not simply hoping without any understanding. What's the definition of hope? Well, the first thing is that hope is something that's future. It's not now. Hope is something that we're looking forward to. It hasn't happened. Our hope, what we're looking for, is still to come. So hope is future. That's the first thing. And once hope comes, we don't hope anymore because it's come. That's why, you know, we've got faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. Now, in the hearts of the believers, is a hope, a looking forward to something. But when that something comes, the hope is no more. We don't need to hope anymore because what we hoped for has come. So that's why love is greater than hope, because love goes on into eternity. But hope? No. Once it's come, once he has come, he has come. Second thing, hope is certain. It's not, when we talk about this hope, what we're looking forward to, we're not looking forward and just wishing, but not sure. It's certain. The hope is certain. And that's why hope is also strength. Hope is strength. And that's why there is hope in the hearts of believers. We'll talk about that a bit more later. This is our definition. Hope is future. Hope is certain. Hope is also strength. But it's not a common thing. Not everybody has this hope. You know, people live a certain sort of life. They feel pretty good about themselves. They've made their money. They've become successful. They're pretty confident. They're pretty happy about themselves. They've lived this sort of a life. Well, it's not a good life. Remember Jesus told the parable? It's really shocking. I mean, in a parable, there's a man who thinks he's lived a very good life, but he says, look how much I've earned, look what I've done. I can sit back and relax and enjoy my prosperity. I've made it. And God said to him, fool. This night your soul will be required of you. And in the parable, then the Lord said, and all this stuff that you've accumulated, you're not taking it with you. Who's with them? Well, people live this sort of a life, and it's a foolish life, but what happens? They die. And then, you know, you go to the funeral and people say all sorts of empty and meaningless things. Oh, he was a good man. And all this sort of stuff. Not really. Scripture says something different. There's all of sin. And it says after death comes judgment. We live common things. People live a hopeless life. And then at the end of life, it's all these empty words. I went to a funeral once of a man. I did some work for this man and his wife. And the man died. I went to the funeral. And the man who was going to preach at the funeral saw me, and I had a little badge on, which showed that I was a Christian. So he came up to me, and he didn't know the man who died, and he said, "No, you know him? Was he, you know, did he believe?" I said, "No, he didn't. He made a joke of the gospel." Then he went in and conducted the funeral as if the man was a saint. It was all lies. It was empty. It was nothing. We don't want to be there. We want the truth. And we want to look at this life, the life that we're living, and the life which will end. And we want to have hope. It's rock solid, clear. So, we're going to break it down into three bits. First thing is we want to look at that one great hope. And the second thing, that why it is a certain hope. And the third thing is that it is an anchor for the soul, it's strength. It's a future hope. It's a certain hope. It's strength. So let's begin with that one great hope. And we're going to read a little bit from this letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. Thessalonica was a city in what's now modern-day Greece. And so Paul wrote to the believers in this city. And in chapter 4 and verse 13, I'll read these few verses. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow with others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. It is said to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Well, let's look at that a little bit more closely. As we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. We don't want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep, that you do not grieve as others who have no hope. Don't be ignorant. Understand, know what is coming. protect those who are asleep. There's a lovely an expression for those who have died. And it's kind of, it's the perspective from the earth. It doesn't mean that when a person dies, he's kind of like unconscious, like when you're asleep. You know, when you're asleep, you don't know. You close your eyes, then you open them again, and it's 5 hours later. Not that. But it's a lovely expression, because it's kind of like looking at a body that's died. But we're looking at the body as if the person is asleep. Because if you look upon somebody who's asleep, you know that they're going to wake up. And when they wake up, they're going to get up. And they're going to be the same person that they were yesterday. Even though now they're completely still, silent, unconscious, they're going to wake up. They'll be there. The person that you were talking to yesterday will be there. And you're talking to them today. We even see somebody asleep. So the expression for the believers when they look upon somebody who's died, okay, they're just asleep. Why do they say that? They're going to wake up. Because they're going to be raised up. Because that person is going to again be in the body and be themselves, but completely changed. That they'll be that person again. Now the body will be put in the ground or whatever. The day is coming when they'll be raised. We don't want you to grieve. When somebody dies that we've loved and we've been close to, we're very sorrowful. We're sorry that we're not going to see them again. We miss them. We have both. This grief that he's talking about. So I don't want you to have this grief. Yeah, you'll have sorrow. If somebody close to you is no longer here, you'll have sorrow. But this grief is sorrow without hope. We can have sorrow still. It will be sorrow with this hope. So look what he's saying. Paul is talking to these believers in Thessalonica. And he's saying, there are those among you who have died. I want to comfort you. I don't want you to be so grieving and upset like other people are when people die. I want to tell you about something. I want to remind you of something. No need to grieve. Why? Because if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Those who sleep in Jesus. These are the ones who have lived for the Lord. Lived with faith and died with faith. They are those who sleep in Jesus. Why? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout of command, like the officer who's leading the troop, the shout of command. Go! And the voice of the archangel. I think that voice is a response. The trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise. Lord himself, this same Jesus, you know, we look back into the past, we look back 2,000 years, and those of us who love him look back and wish, oh, if we could see his face. this same Jesus coming. It's coming. The very one who walked among us, who walked the earth, who spoke those parables that we've read, who did those things that we've read in the Gospel. This same Jesus coming. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout of command. Lord of all, he descends in glory, as we just sang. The voice of the archangel, the beating, the trumpet sent on. And this voice of command raises the dead. The dead rise first. And then we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We will always be with the Lord. Now, I don't know how you can imagine this. I can't imagine this. I don't know what it's going to be like to be caught up and to meet the Lord in the air. I know people have made movies and so on, but don't believe the movies. First prescription. They don't have any greater insight. What will this be like? We don't know. But it will be. That's the thing. We who are alive and remain on that day shall be caught up. There'll be the sound of the trumpet. Whatever we're doing will be interrupted. On that day, it'll be newborn babies. When that trumpet sounds, it'll be babies an hour old. It'll be 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds. There'll be old men, old women. The earth's history will be interrupted. He will come. He's this same Jesus. He will come in glory, power, majesty. And earth's history will, that part, this part that we're familiar with, will be fitting. He will reign and he will rule. We who are still alive, who have faith in Jesus. I'm not saying we, the whole earth, we who have this hope, who are waiting for him, who are longing for him. Faith is not just something, like a little bit of religion that we have. No, it is something much more real than that. And we have faith. We have hope. He is coming. We don't talk about this very much. Maybe it's a little bit embarrassing. I don't understand. How can this be? This is so different. Everything that we experience, it is so different. Clear as day, Scripture promises this. Paul says to the believers in Thessalonica, comfort one another with these words. You know what he's done? When somebody dies, we rightly say, somebody who's very ill. Somebody who was very ill. A hard, hard time in this life because of his illness. Then he died. And then later on, somebody said to me, how is he? And I said, he's perfectly well. Because he's with the Lord. Paul said, if I die and be with Christ, that would be much better than being here. So when a person dies, when a believer dies, they're with the Lord. Paul has skipped over that. He didn't say that yet. He's taken them further forward to that great hope when the Lord Jesus will come, when justice will come, when he will be revealed and everyone will see him. Comfort one another with these words. You know, I think you have to have a certain sort of faith to be comforted by this. A lot of us might feel unsettled by this, uncomfortable with this. But if your heart's fully for him, then there's comfort in it. He then went on in the next chapter in this letter and said, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The day of the Lord is like the Lord's day. This is his day. When he comes to judge and to rule. Now he is mocked. Now people laugh at him. Now people use his name to curse. When he comes, the world's over. He comes to judge and he comes to rule. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, which means something. The thief doesn't send a message and say, tonight at 8 o'clock I'll be there. There it's wrong. No warning. Suddenly it's coming. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. But Paul says to the believers, it's that you, brethren, are not in darkness. You're not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you like a thief. In other words, he's saying, not that you can say exactly what day the Lord's going to come, but you can't. Jesus made it very clear, you don't know the day. In fact, he said, he comes when you least expect it. Oh, you don't know the day when he's going to come. Still, we're not in darkness if we believe and we're ready. When the trumpet sounds, when we hear that, then our heart rejoices. He will come. He will come. You might learn not in darkness. Slowly, sir. Since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Drunk. Let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love. And for helmet, hope of salvation. See the picture that he's used? He's used a picture of a Roman soldier arming himself, putting on the breastplate, putting on the helmet. He's ready. He's armed. He's strong. He can stand. Breastplate of faith and love. Helmet, the hope is looking forward to the hope of salvation. You have that hope? How would it be this morning while we're sitting here, suddenly lifts us down with a comfort? How would it be? Where would you be? Understand. I say it's not going to happen. Right. Let's be sober. That means we're having self-control. We're not drunk. We're making good choices. We're living life with wisdom. We've made good choices. First good choice we made was him. And we continue to make good choices, wise choices. And our life is choices. Continually making choices, little ones and big ones. We're not in darkness. We're in the light. Now, this is in the scripture in many places. Let's look at a few. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says to the believers in Corinth, look, I'm going to tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We'll sleep then. God, the normal God. But we shall all be changed. Who's he talking to? Talking to the believers. We shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the, there's that trumpet again. The last trumpet. We shall not all die. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised, imperishable, incorruptible, never to die again. No sickness, no sorrow, and no crying. And we shall all be changed. Same thing. Dead shall be raised. We shall revive and remain, shall be changed. Trumpet will sound. We're not in the darkness, are we? We've been told. We know. Again, then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Why will the tribes of the earth mourn? Right. With my life, has been a waste. I've pursued all these other things, but all the way to come. The one thing that I should have pursued, I never should. One thing. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? The one thing that I should have cared about. All the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man, this same truth, coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. He will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Believers in China and the believers in New York, believers in Ukraine, believers in Africa, he gathered together throughout his elect those who believe in us. God, known, chosen, his elect. Revelation, last book, behold, he is coming with clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierce him, those who crucify him, will see him. And all the tribes of the earth will wonder. Ah! Wail, crying, because of him, because they neglected him, because they mocked him. They turned it back on him. Even so, amen. We will go. We're not in darkness. We've been told he is coming. This is future. It hasn't happened. And of course, we read in Peter, we could read in Peter. He actually says, oh, in the last days, people are going to laugh. They're going to laugh when you say Jesus is coming back. You're going to laugh and say, come on, it's been 2,000 years. People for 2,000 years have been saying he's going to come back. Yep, that's right. And it says why he is delayed. And maybe you are one of those people this morning who will thank God that he has delayed his coming. Because you have not yet got your soul in the place that it needs to be. You've come yesterday. He is delayed because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If the sun rises again tomorrow, it'll be because he's waiting for one more. Another coming. The day comes when he will come. It's absolutely clear. Why are we saying it is absolutely clear? Why is it a certain hope? Well, we read that verse. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. It's the simple logic. If the Lord Jesus died and rose again, then he is coming. If that man who lived 2,000 years ago amongst us was in fact crucified, as history bears eloquent witness to, abundant witness to, he was crucified. And if he actually rose from the dead, which history bears eloquent witness to, it is very clear that he rose from the dead. I find that a surprising statement. It's surprising to you, perhaps, only because rising from the dead is very surprising. Because when somebody's dead, you don't expect them to rise. And when Jesus was crucified, they didn't expect him to come back. Not even his disciples expected him. Not even those who loved him most. Not even the women. You probably have better understanding than the men. Not even they expected him to rise. They went to the tomb to embalm his body. They didn't expect him to rise, but he rose. We are here today because he rose again. If Jesus didn't rise again, if Jesus was crucified, he's a real man, and he was crucified and that was it, and he didn't rise from the dead, he would have been forgotten. There would be no church. There wouldn't have been that eruption of joy in Jerusalem. 2 weeks later, had he not risen from the dead. We are here today, we are talking about him before he rose. He rose, he's coming. He's according to his great mercy, God has caused us to be born again to a living hope, as what Peter said. Why do we have this living hope, this real hope? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He rose again. Therefore, we have this hope. And that hope is an inheritance. He is coming to gather his people to himself. An inheritance that Peter described as imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Eternal life. Jesus said, the thief only comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He was using the picture of a shepherd, and he said, but I have come that they may have life, they may have it more abundantly. We could ask, well, what life is this that he's come to give? It's not life like having a great time. Not more than that. Eternal life, uncreated life, glorious life, undying life. And he said, I'm going to give it abundantly. His abundance is much more than this brief span we have on earth. The Lord's promise to his people is much, much greater than this life. I have come that they may have life. And ends his return. He is coming. He will make coming. And this hope is future. This hope is certain. And this hope is strength. It is an anchor for the soul. This is a verse from Hebrews. This hope we have, the hope of Jesus, who has risen, who has ascended, who is coming. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both pure and steadfast, which enters behind the veil, which means which it's a hope that takes us into his very presence. You know what an anchor is for? An anchor is so when the waves are arising and when the wind is blowing, the anchor holds and the ship doesn't move. But an anchor for the soul is something that keeps you, that makes you strong. And when the storms are raging and when the winds are blowing, you stand. You don't move. You're not just a cork bobbing up and down on the ocean. You're not a little boat without a sail, without a rudder. It's being blown wherever the wind takes you. You stand. You're strong. What that means for us is means if it's life, we make choices. Everybody goes that way, but we go this way because of this way is right. Anchor for the soul. Why is it an anchor? Well, we have the Apostle Paul illustrating this. Paul was traveling towards Jerusalem, and he said, in every city that I visit, believers tell me, because the Holy Spirit has told them, that imprisonment and affliction when he gets to Jerusalem. Heading for Jerusalem, and he knows when he gets there, he's going to get thrown into prison. Different things are going to happen to him. So the believers said, don't go, don't go. But he said, I'm ready. Not only to be in prison, but also to die in prison for the name of the Lord Jesus. Why does Paul want this? Is he suicidal? He knows that death is not the end, that he'll be with the Lord with this Lord come out. Well, that's Paul. That's Paul some years ago pressing this hope. But down through the ages since then, many, many people have had this anchor of the soul, and we've heard about those who for their faith have been burned at the stake and been executed, been strangled and terrible things have happened to them. They've shown such courage in the face of death. I remember the story of a man who, in England, was going to be burned. So they take him, you know, it's a public thing, they take him into the town square. And they tie him to a post, and then they put timber around him, and sometimes they put gunpowder into the timber so it'll really flare up. So one of the believers said to this man, you're dying. You know the comforts of the Lord. And you know it. He raised his arm. He's strapped, tied to this post and light the fire. And the fire coming up, burning his clothes and burning him, he raises his arm. In that, Lord was with him. Think of that with so much courage. He knew his Lord lives. What's then, this is now. This is just a collection of a few things that are happening now. Amongst our brothers and sisters, blast at baptism service in the Democratic Republic of Congo, kills 14 Christians. When did that happen? In January. You imagine the believers get together for a baptism and somebody puts a bomb there? putting people to kill in relation to knowledge. And in the news. So, you know, we have been, and there's only Christians who doesn't get reported. These things are happening now in many parts of the world. Muslim relatives killed the pastor for his faith, widow and children in fear for their lives. And you know, this story, this man was a Muslim and he was converted. He became a Christian and he was sharing the gospel and other people were becoming Christians. And his own family, extended family, were really angry with him and they threatened him. And they abused him and they threatened him. And he said, I read it later in this article, he said, I'm willing to die, convert back, become a Muslim. Our family is Muslim. You have to be Muslim. He said, I can't, and I'm willing to die for Jesus. So they took him out of his house, and his wife was in the house with the children hiding. And these men who were his girlfriend took him out of the house, and then she heard the scream. And then the next day, he got another sister in the ward, and they went down the road and found the body of her husband. These people facing these things with hope, what do we face? They can't knock us over, does it? But our brothers and sisters in other places, suffering a lot. For them, they have a hope which is an anchor for their soul. They have faith and they have hope. They're putting on this hope, the helmet of salvation. They're facing all sorts of things. Well, in this country at the moment, we're not being treated like this, but we do face things where we can be ostracized, we can be left alone, we can have no friends, people abuse us, and we might say that we're full of hate, and we will be abused and then, you know, they say all these things. We have hope, we stand, we're strong. This hope we have is anchor of the soul. Think of person who made this a bit of a sense of humor. One Christian is killed every 5 minutes. Come and join us. Come and believe the gospel. Would you like to join us? Yeah, well, this is the reality. This faith is real. The enemy is real. Hope is real. Jesus died and rose again. Jesus is coming back. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul. And you know, we have more than a future hope. We have a present hope as well. And that hope is spoken of. This is something that we can be sure of and look forward to. You know, Jesus said, you'll be brought before synagogues and you'll be brought before kings for my sake in Matthew 10. He said, don't worry about what you're going to speak. The Holy Spirit will give you in that hour what you could speak and what you could answer. In other words, he said, when you suffer for my name, I will be with you. I will be right there. I will be with you. So that's another hope. We have a future hope. Well, maybe at the end, if he is coming, but there's another hope. That whatever difficulty I face, he will be with me there. Amen. The last verse of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is also my hope. I look forward unto my life. What are the years to come? What do they hold for me? What does the next year hold for you? What does your life hold for you? What are you going to be in 10 years or 20 years? Well, we have this hope. Goodness and mercy should follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Coming home, that one great hope that we look to is that when he comes, like a thief in the night, very end of the scripture, surely I am coming soon. And the believer said, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Are you ready? Come, Lord Jesus. This is what our hope is. We're waiting for him, we're longing for him in person. His name is that he will come. I haven't tried this morning to talk about whole sequence of events that happened at the end. I haven't talked about the Antichrist. I haven't talked about all those things. Focused on one indisputable truth. Not argue about this. However he comes, whatever the sequence of events may be, this is sure. Let us close by singing again the hymn we sang before, which is, Behold, He Comes.